Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Celtic Now and for a podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford. This episode is obviously the reaction podcast regarding the Hamilton victory, 2-0-1. Today on the panel, I'm joined by Robert Boyle again. Robert, how are you doing, mate?
Good, Ryan, thanks.
And this episode, I'm joined by a new guest of the panel, Claire Church. Claire, how's things?
Good, thanks. Yeah, all good.
Well, obviously, Claire, since it's your first time on, I'll get your opinions first. Obviously, good victory, as we've been through a wee bit of a game there, so just obviously your first thoughts after the game.
I still feel a bit deflated, to be honest. It was a win, which is obviously good, but it wasn't the most exciting game in the world, I'm not going to lie. Main concern from last night probably would be the lack of, I don't know, a wee bit of lack of enthusiasm for the boys. I mean, they were better, but no disrespect to Hamilton, but like, it was Hamilton. I want to see how they got on Saturday against a team that scored 5 goals last night. I mean, defending the way they defended last night against St Mirren could potentially cause a little bit of a different reaction. I think St Mirren would score, put it that way, if we defend like that on Saturday. But, I mean, good result, don't get me wrong. Good result. Obviously, Griffiths and Edward scoring, which helps. I think... We might have a wee injury. I think Edward looked like he was holding his hamstring when he came off last night. I don't know if you guys seen that.
I know he was limping, but I wasn't sure if it was. I thought it was him.
Hoping that's no. Well, maybe. I'm hoping it doesn't end up being an injury, because obviously if he's just coming good, then hopefully we can keep him till the summer at least. But I know, decent enough. Just I'm struggling to get up for the games these days. I'm just I need to do something to make me go. All right, okay, cool. No bother.
I think that's what we've been kind of saying. It's you're kind of like what's going to happen this week. Every day you're like, is there going to be something else to disappoint us? It's as Claire says, you're struggling to get up for games, and like the day Davis is signing, or Rita is signing, really, you're hard to get yourself up for anything really but Celtic because of the way the season's went.
Every day I'm looking for a positive rather than a negative, but the negatives outweigh the positives at this precise moment, being a Celtic supporter. On last night's game, I thought there was spells. They played all right. I wouldn't say they played fantastic. I cut a no bad link-up with Edward and Griffiths. Rhys Oro was good in the midfield. The two strikers scored 2 goals. But again, what Claire said, quite a lot of it I agree with. So hard to get yourself up for it. The goalkeeping situation, to me, is just... it's a lottery ticket. It's like, who are we pulling it this week, innit? The defence still is ropey. Let's not get away from that. There's just a lot of things. It's just, it's hard to get positive about. But last night, we won. We had a clean sheet. It's all you can ask for, considering the last few weeks that we've had in the turbulence. You just want to get back to winning ways, and hopefully we can build a bit of momentum now going to the end of the season. But I can't see us going in this a wee run of results, to be honest. As Claire said, St Mirren's going to be a lot tougher test, because for me, Hamilton didn't really offer much. They were kind of battling, but they're the bottom of the league for a reason. They're not a great team. So on to the next game, St Mirren, I'm afraid.
I kind of agree with the twoies when it comes to, I thought we weren't, there was no enthusiasm, it was like, you're 2-0 up. I think under a lot of our managers, I know we keep referring back to Rodgers, but if that was 2-0, it'd be gone for three, gone for four. You would, there's no will to, for me, there's no will to go and get a goal. There's no enthusiasm to get the ball to park. And I just don't know if that's just, as Claire says, deflated. I just think the full team, I'm not saying they're no trying or they're no up for it. It's just, it's like there's no fight. There's only maybe certain players like Sorrow, Tumble. Ayer's been brilliant for me all season. I think he'll be a one it'll go. With a lot of fight. For me, I know I've marked it down here for later on, but Edouard, for me, I thought Edouard was poor. As much as you don't want to talk about Rangers, you look at their strikers, they're winning all the time, they're keen defenders, a lot of hassle, and I don't know if it is, if Edouard's worried to get injured. I don't know if he thinks he's gone somewhere, but he's just not the guy that we've been watching from the last year and a bit. Again, we spoke about before, we don't know if it's all to do with COVID, is he injured, is he, we don't know, but I don't know what Claire thinks, but I think it's, for me, I know Edouard scored, but I just don't think he's done enough to merit even starting, because I know I've always said that if he's fit, he should be playing, because he's always got that bit of magic, but I just don't know where to go with Edouard now, because my feelings on him is he's phenomenal on his day, he's probably the best player in Scotland, but I just don't know what you make of that, Claire, about Edouard's performance.
I kind of want to grab him and shake him after seeing him play this season, honestly. Last night, I agree with you, I thought he was poor. The simple stuff he couldn't do, but then he did something really complicated before he scored. Like, the best bit of thing he did was caused the best bit of play and he scored, but he couldn't do the simple stuff the rest of the match. Like, he was posted missing for probably, I don't know, like a 20 minutes of the first half. I don't think he's been consistent. I 100% agree with you. I think he's scared he's going to get injured. I think he's his head's obviously been turned by whether it be Rodgers, whether it be somebody in France. I don't know. But he's a young, I don't say age is an excuse, but he's a young boy. Do you know what I mean? He's obviously ambitious and he knows he's good. That's the thing. He does know he's good. And I think when kind of shits at the fan a bit at Celtic, I don't think he can stomach it. I don't think he can. He's tolerating it very well. He's obviously, I mean, if that was a hamstring injury he's got last night, he's probably going nowhere in January now, so he's going to be stuck here for another 6 months. So we're going to have another 6 months of him just doing what he did last night. No thanks. Off you go. Beat it. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather he went if he was going to do that for 6 months. I don't know if I can handle 6 more months of that.
I don't know what your take on it is, but I know we've spoke about all of it, but I'm 100% with Claire. I'd like you want to shake him because you're like, we know what you can do. Even at Ibrox, see the one he missed at Ibrox, see if that was as bad 6 months ago, that's a goal. Obviously, he's finishes. See the one at Sparta Prague away, that was Edouard, Pete Edouard. And I don't know if it is, like Chris agreed with me, that he's injured or he's no way to get injured or, again, because he's changed agents now, hasn't he? So, and supposedly the company's a big company he's signed for, so that's already in the pipeline. But see, if you're going, in my opinion, I know we're Celtic fans and we don't care about if he's going to Arsenal or Leicester or wherever he's gone, but obviously your main focus was 10 in a row, so you should be thinking about your move after you win 10 or after you have a good season. So see, in my opinion, we were maybe quoting 30, 40 million. See, now, the way he's playing, you're lucky, probably get lucky at 25 million from him.
25 million is the right bracket, especially with COVID times, because for me, he sets so high a standard that if he doesn't play to that standard all the time, then people are going to judge him and start looking at, oh, he's half a boy, he's no interested, he wants a move. But you've got to remember, nobody at Celtic's performed this year. There's nobody really, apart from Sorum and Tumble came into the team that we spoke about. There's not been one player that stood out in that team that you went, wow. So maybe way COVID, maybe way's injury, maybe way no having strike partners, changing, chopping, changing. The team's changed 33 different times this season.
I thought,
that's not how you build a winning team. You don't build a winning team with changing players constantly. We make the most subs in the league. Under Len, to me, there's just, it's for individuals, the team now. The management on their unit, I would say, John Kennedy and Neil Lennon don't really go on. I don't think they see eye to eye, in my own opinion. I feel they've got different thoughts and things, but they don't talk about it. And that's all come to the boil. The players are probably in wee triangles now. Like, small groups, because obviously everything's went tits up really, and you really need men in there when things are going tits up to regroup us and get us back together. And Scott Brown has not been the Scott Brown we know either, because he should be the leader, even if he's not playing half the part and getting us regrouped. But he comes on the other night and makes an absolute stupid elbow fling or arm fling, whatever you want to call it. I mean, how can he turn in and tell any other player to up their game when he's coming on and doing something like that? To me, the full season up to now has just been a total circus act, as we spoke about, Ryan. I don't think there's been many positives, and it must be hard for players coming into your squad when so much has gone wrong. Obviously, with Barkas and Ayeti, I don't think they're up to it for Celtic, but it's hard to get certain about them because of what's happened. And everything that's kind of faltered, and it's down to the management not getting the best out of the players. So maybe under Lennon, Edward just doesn't feel all right. He was good last season, but he really blossomed under Rodgers, you know what I mean? So obviously transfer speculation, and Cham's no happy, Big Julian's been injured, so there's loads of things. The French boys all stick together, I know that, for speaking to an actual Celtic player. He told us a wee bit about the French players and says they're kind of close and stuff like that. So that's just my opinion on it. You can't just blame Edward. I mean, Griffiths comes back for the pre-season with all weight and stuff. It's been a catalogue of loads of things. But we know Edward's absolutely brilliant on his day and what he can actually do. But as you say, the league's gone, right? So why will that guy go out and get 100% in case he does get a teared hamstring or does a knee ligaments or breaks his leg, and that move, that history move, then collapses? It's hard, but if we get money for him, I'd take it. 20, 25 million. I would, because we need money for building for next season. So that's just my opinion on.
I can take that eye when it comes to him nobody getting injured, because even when I played football, if you knew you were going somewhere else, you did nobody get injured. That's just a simple fact. At the end of the day, he's got a family, he's got a life, so I can understand that. But as a Celtic fan, it's frustrating, clearly, when you see guys like that, when you know how good they can be, and this season when you'd expect them to be all firing, they're not.
It's so frustrating, especially some, like what Robert said, he's so, so good on his day. Like, he can be brilliant. He can just be unplayable at times. And then it's frustrating watching him be so poor. Right now, he's not earning his move. He's not working for it. Somebody like Ayer, who's been brilliant all season, he's working for his move. He's week in, week out. I'm not saying he's been brilliant. He has been good, but he's been the best of a bad bunch. Mm-hmm. He's been consistently at an okay standard. Whereas Edward's just went from up here to just so poor and just so uninterested looking. Even his body language hasn't been great. It's disappointing for me, because I like the guy. I think I wish he would do. I mean, I bet you any money, if he leaves, he'll be absolutely brilliant again. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. He'll leave and he'll be fantastic wherever he goes, and all the Celtic fans will be absolutely raging. But that's what it is. That's just disappointing. But like Robert says, the whole season's a circus.
Because that was similar to the same with Dembele, when he was coming to an end. He formed it, and then as soon as he went to Lyon, boom. We're talking about him getting caps for France and this and that. But we all knew about Dembele. Dembele for me was outrageous. And I think, again, I don't think he totally played his best here. But we've seen that he went to Lyon, now he's at a flick of Madrid. So it just proves as well that there's talent everywhere, even in the low leagues in Scotland, but especially in Celtic and even Rangers, we don't even know what to say, but there's talent everywhere in Scotland. And I don't think maybe it gets a recognition like guys like Edward. Even Tierney with her 25 million at the time was a good deal, but looking back now, it was daylight robbery for what we sold him for, because he's probably Arsenal's best player. And then obviously we were talking about Barkas, Robert, and Claire, that drop and changing. I want to kind of talk about you, obviously, Claire, when it comes to Barkas. I know me and Robert spoke about it. The thing with Lennon is, again, I don't know if he's no well. I say this point because he's, I don't know if he remembers what he said about Barkas 2 or 3 weeks ago. He said he was your number one, we need to play him, and blah, blah, blah. And he's played about 2 out of 5 or 6 games. So I don't, and then he's saying Baines earned these stripes again, but Baines has not played since, November or something.
Back flag away.
So how's he earned these stripes if he's not played? And he's saying that he needs to, he's admitted himself, he's not playing well and he can do better and he's not settling. But see, to settle and get used to playing up to speed, you've got to play every week, surely. That's just my opinion. I think if you've got to get, I see McGriffiths, Monday McGriffiths not been fit, yet not been fit, well, they need to play. You can only train so much before you get fit. But I don't know what you make of the comments, Claire, but I just think, after saying that and no playing broadcast, for me, it's baffling.
I'm confused though as well, because like you said a couple of weeks ago, he came out and said opposite of Barkas, and then last night he came out and pretty much slated the guy and said he's not settling, he's no up to it. He said, but apparently Barkas has admitted he's no settling and he's not up for it. And I'm like, right, okay, but I mean, my head just keeps going back to, we spent $5 million on this doof, so he's came in and, you know, couldn't catch anything. And I mean, I like Bain. I like Bain a lot as a goalie. I think he's pretty solid. I think he's pretty decent. And I don't think Hazard did a great deal wrong. I know that might be an unpopular opinion, but I don't think there's a lot wrong when he was in. I don't know why, where he's went. I don't know where he disappeared to. But like what Robert said, we're just going to dip our hand in a lucky dip bowl every week and just pick a goalie out and put them in. Do you know what I mean? It's weird. It's really, really weird. I haven't seen enough of Barkas to think of anything else apart from the fact that he's no great for me. Doesn't he command? I don't think he's commanding. You don't hear him shout a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear him shout at the two idiots in front of him, whoever they may be each week. You know, you should be screaming at your defenders. And I mean, the grief Fraser Foster gave a defence. I mean, you remember him. He always used to shout and command the box and command the boys in front of him and whatever. But I like Bain. Bain's quite vocal and Bain seems to be a wee bit more solid. But, I mean, where's his morale at? I'm just getting flung back in this team and I've not kicked a ball for 8 weeks or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to think, where's what's he thinking? I mean, he must be, he can't be 100% happy with that. I mean, obviously I don't know, but it's just my opinion. So,
you see, obviously you were talking about, see, but obviously Barkas that Lennon's come out and says this, but after saying that, do you know as well, Robert, that he's flung the player under the bus that he's done all season, came out in public? Is that not something you say, but in-house? The full thing we spoke about, for me, Lennon, we don't know what goes behind the scenes, and even some people who, I suppose, are in the know, and they say they know this, nobody knows anything. They said to the club before this morning, it's only Des and Lennon and Lowell that know really what's happening. Nicky Hammond, the recruitment guy. I've watched, but see, when he played against us, he made a few good saves, I thought, and when Rodgers was here in the qualifiers to the Champions League. And you know, I know YouTube, and some of the saves he's making on YouTube, I'm like, wow, against Bayern Munich, Juventus, I'm like, he's decent. Now, obviously, a few guys right on Twitter saying what a sign you've got, and then I don't know, as Claire says, you spent £5 million. Are you going to pick a lucky dip and go, right, we'll sign him, we'll play him? I know we've spoken about him, but I'm trying to take an observing fit and just no judge any player this season in a way, because of how, as you said, it's been a bit of a shit show. But some guys, like we've said, Duffy, a beat on again has been poor for me. Guys who you can get a judge, but I don't know, Barkas, mate, I don't know about it, mate. The situation is just totally, it's a shit show.
The goalkeeping situation for me, Ryan, is Hazard is a good upcoming young goalkeeper. He needs experience. He's a good shot stopper. He's no great at coming for crosses. He's vocal enough. He needs experience. He needs out and loan to a Kilmarnock, a St. Marlon, St. Johnston. Somebody get a good season under his belt and then assess him for there. Scott Bain's a good backup goalkeeper for me. He's good with the ball at his feet. Nice a guy. Cracking guy, actually. I've spoken to him quite a few times and he's actually one of the most down-to-earth guys you meet, but that doesn't make him a good goalkeeper. But he's a cracking guy. He's a good guy to have run about the club. I think he's a decent enough shortstopper to be a number two. I don't think he's a number one. And Barkas, for me, this is what we're talking about with Lennon and somebody else, right? We'll not mention our names, management side. See, if Barkas is struggling, he doesn't need to come out and slate the guy in the press.
Mm-hmm.
He takes it in-house and says, the guy's got a wee bit of homesickness and we've had to take him out the phrase. Just a professionalism to the media. Rather than going and saying the guy's no settling, he's admitted it himself, he's just not up to the standard. To me, that's just no professional to be a manager. He's got to take him out the limelight. Even say he's got a slight injury, take him out the limelight, let him try and work away in the background and see how it goes for there. But he's no good enough for me, Barkas. I think we've been a bit spoilt with goalkeepers over the years. Your Boric's, your Fraser Foster's, and even to that extent, Craig Gordon in his first season in that. We had right good goalkeepers that could make a lot of good saves. David Marshall was decent enough in his day as well. So we've been spoilt with goalkeepers, and now you see how much decent a goalkeeper we actually had over the years and how good they can be. But to me, he's no commanding, he's no vocal, and I've yet to see him making any saves that's kept us in a game, apart from a couple at Ross County. But other than that, he's been very poor, positional sense to me, very poor as well. But again, the guy's going through a pandemic, settling into a new country, probably know a lot of people speak. Obviously, there's nobody probably speaks in the Celtic team Greek, is what I can think of. So a lot of things, it's hard for people. It's just because how big a season it is, and we're coming into this season, and everybody expects the players to come in and hit the ground running. And unfortunately, we've not had that luck. Our players come in and hit the ground running. I don't think there's been many signings that have done that. So maybe we're giving the guy a bit too much flack. But for me, the guy's, he's got to be a strong enough person to get away and make it count now and do extra training, do what's needed to done to get to that high standard. If you remember when Boyata was in the team, there was talking being at Lennox Town and training at 9:30 at night. And Brendan Rodgers says, "I don't believe you." And he had to go and check the security guard to see if he was up training. If you're determined enough and you've got, he's obviously got ability somewhere, you can make it and make it, change it and make it better for yourself and go and do the extra training that's needed. If that's what it is, keep your mind on football and take your mind off sitting in a fucking hotel room or sitting in a flat when you probably know got a lot of people running about you. I think just mentally strong, he needs to be mentally stronger and needs to look at yourself in that sense and go, right, what do I want? Do I want to be here? Do I want to make a career for myself here? Or do I want to sulk and feel sorry for myself and move on? That, to me, a goalkeeper's got to be a strong vocal person and probably a bit of a madman as well to be a goalkeeper. That's just my thoughts on the goalkeeping situation at Celtic, you know.
Because obviously we're talking about Foster, Claire, and I agree with you that as much as your defence hasn't been the best, with a solid goalkeeper, it gives you a kind of a substance to the full team. The defence, no. Because last season, it's part of the two or three signings in the first 11, it is kind of the same team. Obviously, Julian's been injured and COVID and stuff has happened. But Julian and I are O'Hamid and who was left back again last season?
Greg Taylor.
And Lazio, when we beat Lazio, it was been about the same team with Johnny Hayes. It was roughly about the same team. But as Claire says, I agree with you, Claire, that having a, let's be honest, Fraser Foster as a world class goalkeeper, it gave the rest of the team confidence.
Yeah, and Fraser didn't want to come back or whatever the story was there. He didn't want to come back and for whatever reason. And you see all agreement, the defence isn't great. Let's just no beat about the bush here. The defence is shocking actually. But again, I think kind of like what Robert said as well, we've been spoiled a wee bit, I think. I agree with him on the goalkeeping situation. I think that we have been spoiled. I also think that the defence need a kick up the rear end, and I think they need a good goalie to do that. I think a strong commanding goalie would give them a bit up the backside that they need maybe to be a bit more, a wee bit better. I mean, I get the impression as well with Duffy, I think he's just trying that bit too hard now, and he's trying that hard, he's get what he, if it's possible, but even worse. Obviously, Celtic fan or whatever else, but you know, it's just not happening for him, and he might just need to relax a bit, but it might just be it, and maybe who knows, he might actually score one of them headers he goes for when we take a corner. You know, I mean, he's always up there. He's just, and you look how frustrated he is every time he misses one. Like, he looks absolutely gutted every time, and it's like the boy's obviously trying, but it's maybe just no, it's not for him. But from my goalkeeping point of view, somebody with a big, strong, commanding goalkeeper, I think, is what we need. And I mean, I take your point, Robert, about Bain. He's solid enough, and maybe he's just a number two, maybe he's just a backup, but he's the best of a bad bunch right now, I think. Again, unfortunately, I shouldn't be saying that about Celtic, but I think he is the best of a bad bunch at the minute.
I think it's been hard for us as fans to obviously come on a podcast in general, because obviously we can't go to pubs and have a talk with our pals and whatever else and all our fellow supporters, but we seem to be criticising a lot. But it's hard when you're, I think, a lot of fans feel obviously the team of the water and other teams in Scotland are saying, why are you getting all uptight about how bad you've been? You've been so, but that's why we're so critical of the team, because we know how good they can be and the draft standards. And obviously we've spoken about how maybe the professional side of the game has maybe went, because obviously for me, Lennon, this is the first season in maybe the last few years where I think we've spoke a lot in the press. I don't know if it gets brought up about, in my opinion, maybe too much, but Lennon's talking to the press, maybe players are coming out and talking to the press. But see, under, I know we keep saying about Rodgers, but players didn't come out and talk to the press about Rodgers. They've done it in-house. That season, all you heard was Tavernier talking to the press, Morelos talking to the press, and guys who came before, Senderos talking to the press. And I think that's going to be nip in the bud for me. I don't know why they're being all that out. I don't know what you think of that, but Robert, but I think it's, there's a lot in that side that's got to change.
You've heard interviews with McGregor saying stuff like standards no great, he couldn't put his finger on how players are so off the boil on that. And I think it was a Sparta Prague game at home. I think if that interview went any longer, McGregor was ready to tell more than he should have actually said. He just looked in one of the moods that he was just totally pissed off, should we say. And I think players like him have had dropped this year in standard just because everything about them. And it's no for lack of time, because Wee McGregor gives 100% every game, but it's just everything comes for the management, in my opinion on it. If the management are as a unit and as one, I mean, you could look back at Neil Lennon accepting the job without his own backroom staff. To me, right away, that's a no-no. He should have had guys on about him that he could trust. And even if John Kennedy had to be there, he should have still had me, Albion, or Alan Thompson, or Gary Parker, whoever he needed in to be alongside him, because him and John Kennedy just don't react to me. And I feel if your management aren't in the same wavelength, how can they go address the players and put it across to the players to be on the same wavelength? To me, it's just all individuals. And to me, it just looks like we need an actual structure, a management, a coaches, a stuff that needs brought back to the club, or a professionalism. Like as we says, we had before, if that needs to be a £3 million manager, then I feel a £3 million manager is worth his weight in gold more than a £3 million player. Just because a lot of players there don't just become bad players overnight. As you say, you can get the best out of these players again if they're coached right and put into a system, and no change for a 4-2-3-1, a 3-5-2, a 4-1-3-2. You know what I mean? It's like tactics are changing week in, week out. Some players are getting played out of position. Like Elanussi's played everywhere but goalkeeping, I think he's played everywhere in the park. Taylor there, Laxalt there, Ayer played every position. I mean, you can't have a settled team. Your spine of your team is the most important part of a team. And that's got to kind of be the same off-season. And to me, it's changed far too much. There's nobody can build partnerships up throughout the team. It's changing constant. Tactics are changing constant. You had Tumble in the right or left last night. To me, it's just, you get away with it with Hamilton, but you're not going to get away with it in the better teams. It needs to change, mate. The manager needs to change. I just hope it's sooner rather than later, because the longer we leave it, the more it's just dragging on and bringing the fans down and bringing the club down, to be quite honest.
I agree with you when it comes to Everton, about the, especially the Lennon and Kennedy. You can see, I know people speak about Kennedy not reacting. I know in the past he doesn't really react, but especially at this time when you're in a bit of a need for your managers and your coaches to have to hear a lift, there's no fans. As we spoke about, Claire, obviously the fans might be it could be a thing that obviously a detriment to the squad, but for me, I think at the side of the park and obviously training, whatever we're doing, it's definitely no what it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I forget who it was. I think it was somebody, I forget who said it, but somebody said that we're missing the fans so much more than what Rangers are. And I'm kind of laughing because I think if Rangers had the fans in the stadium, would they be as good as they are? Are Rangers that good or are we just that bad? That's a totally different debate. I'm not even going to get into that. But I do think the fans obviously play a big part. Everyone talks about the atmosphere. Everybody talks about the fans. You know, Messi comes out and says how good it is. All the players, like all these famous players, say how good the atmosphere is. So I do think we're definitely, definitely missing that, and the players are missing that lift. But I also think if, I know if I was in the ground, I would be giving Lennon absolute dogs abuse if I was in there every week watching this nonsense. And I think he'd be at the door by now if there was fans in the ground every week. I don't think he'd still be there. I think the lack of fans gives Lowell that little safety net to just sit on it a wee bit longer, or for whatever reason he wants to do that for.
I definitely, when it comes to Lowell, I think they've been quite quiet, haven't they, about a lot of things. They'll only post on the social media when we're winning trophies every day. They're posting everything, now they're quiet. It's, I agree with the two E's on that situation. And then obviously we're kind of away for the game, but it's listen, it's hindsight we need to talk about. But obviously we're talking about Beaton and Duffy defence. I know Taylor's stats yesterday were brilliant, but for me, I spoke about it going forward, if you want to progress as a club, and as Robert says, Lowell says, we're an elite club. For me, Taylor, and probably to an extent, Laxalt's not going to be your left back. But Duffy, I agree with you, Claire, that I think he's trying too hard. But as I've spoke about before, we don't know if his personal side, what's happened to him, is affecting his game here. We don't know. But I just, me personally, I know we're struggling for centre backs, but if it's going to make his life a bit better and maybe make him a better player, I would send him back if we can do that, because I think he's struggling. We don't want to sit here and criticise our own team, because it's not what we're like and what you want to do. But I agree with you when it comes to Duffy and Beaton. I think he is a centre mid, isn't he? You can see the centre mid when he plays. But I don't know what your take on Beaton is, Claire, but I just think, I know we're struggling for centre backs, but I just, he can't play there. Because he's making two mistakes, and yesterday he's passing 5-10 yard pass out the park. If you're a professional football player, I know it happens, but it's happening every game for me now, and that's just not the standards we've set.
I've always actually been a fan of Beaton as a midfielder, and I think back to Chris Sutton playing striker, midfield, centre back, and you're thinking, oh, could he be that way? I should tell, could he do this? You know, this is a good thing. This is great. And can he do a 10-yard pass, like you said? And he has a wee bit of a bomb scare at centre-back, unfortunately. But then I also think, would I prefer Ayer at centre-back, or would I prefer Ayer at right-back now? That's a different thing. I mean, Ayer's just up and down and up and down, quite happy last night. He played, I thought he was fine. I thought he was good. Looked like he was totally on a worse couch after it, but he tried hard and he went, you know what, he looked like he wanted to be there and wanted to play, and that was good, and I enjoyed that about it. Beaton, I don't know, because where's the space for him in the midfield if the defenders are there and the defenders are fit? Because he's not going to take Sorrow or Brown out. Brown's a different issue, but Sorrow was playing well, and like Robert said, he was good and he's solid and he's a great wee player. I don't think he's going to take him out and put Beaton in there unless he's injured. So is Beaton going to stay and be a backup midfielder, or would they want to move on if he can't get the game at centre half? I think he's just happy to be playing, as much as he's maybe not great. But we don't really have many other options right now. I haven't seen enough of the guy Welsh to. He's been all right again. All right, that's about all as excited as I'm going to get. But again, it depends. I mean, obviously I'm not saying Lennon's going with his buddies. He's going with who he trusts and who he thinks he trusts and who he thinks is going to be all right on the night. But it's not about their performances, it's about who he trusts, and it's a totally different thing about who's playing well and who's performing well as to who he wants. And then that's not doing the team any favours right now, I think.
Because obviously you were saying it was Hamilton and we won the game, but see, even it's Hamilton and Duffy and Beaton, they're making mistakes. I thought Hamilton, Hamilton scored. I don't know what Duffy was doing. That's it. Duffy, as we've said as well, but Duffy's an experienced international. She's played at the highest level in the Premier League. He's only 28, 29, so it's not like he's 35, 36. He's a captain of Ireland, played in Euro qualifiers. As we've said, you don't want to disrespect any Scottish team, but you're playing against the bottom league, and they're kind of giving you a wee bit of a game. I just don't know. He should be coming here, but our first thought, I was on my Twitter, I can't believe he's signed, what a signing. And it's just failed, and there's so many players I think have no really cut it this season. And I think I know we've kind of spoken about it clearly, that he's been a big kind of failure. And obviously, it's just, I don't know what you think of the beat on, Robert, as well, but I just think the centre-back, the goalkeeper, even Hamilton, it's just, you're still thinking you're going to concede a goal. And for me, that's no good enough.
I don't think Beaton is a bad player. I really don't. I think he's a no bad football player. I think he's kind of composed on the ball, and I think that's where Lennon likes him at the back. But he isn't a centre-half. I mean, he can play good for 60, 70 minutes. Like we've seen against Rangers, he never put a foot wrong, but he's always got a mistake in him because he's not got the defender instinct where he's got to be switched on all the time. He switches off because he's used to doing that in midfield.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to switch off because there's two guys standing behind you at centre half, and you get away with it at centre half, at centre midfield. But when you're playing at centre half, one mistake like that, or one mistake like he done at Hamilton away and wiped the boy out in that, it's no Beaton's fault. It's we've got Julian injured. He's not got a lot of trust in a young boy Welsh, who I think could be all right in the future again. He's just a young boy. And Julian's injured, so you've not really got much choices at centre-half. I mean, Ayer's there, but now with Celt Frimpong, El Hamid looks miles at the picture. So he's named. But I don't know where you could put El Hamid in centre-half because he can play there. But I don't know how far out the picture. He seems to be miles at the picture there now. And put Ayer at right back, or put Ayer in at centre-half, and put El Hamid at right back. I don't know. I don't think Lennon knows what he's doing, so what chance have we got of realising what he's doing? And Duffy, I think if El Hamid wasn't homesick and the stuff that's going on, and Julian wasn't injured, I think they would have sent Duffy back in January. My personal opinion, I think they would have. But no, you're stuck with it. So we just need to put our blindfolds on and look through the cracks of the blindfolds to see what's happening.
I agree with you when it comes to Beaton. I don't think Beaton is a bad player. I think it's centre mid. I think obviously we'll get Sorrow and Tumbo and McGregor. I know in Chams don't play him, but you still got him as an option. I think Beaton is a really good player on the ball. But I think, as you say, he switches off and it kind of makes him into a bad player. Again, he's not a centre back, let's be honest. He's no, so he is out of his comfort zone. But he's, as Claire says, maybe he's just happy playing there because he's playing with Celtic and he's playing every week. But it's the simple mistakes that I think because he's maybe too calm and maybe too good a passer that he is playing the 10 yards out of the game. But see, watching it, it's so frustrating. See, because you spoke about, Robert, that if that was a Sunday league game or a Saturday game that we were playing in, you would have been getting absolutely slaughtered as a manager. So, but and then obviously when you're talking about Sorrow and Tumble again, I thought we were brilliant. I think we need to build our team around them next season. I don't know what you think of that, Claire, but I think we've got to kind of start. I know, obviously, mathematically, the league's no finish, but in theory, it is, right? But you've got to kind of build the team now, maybe, and just build a squad now where to get into the qualifiers. And hopefully, if the new manager come in, they're kind of maybe settled into the team and they can go the way we want to go.
I like Sora a lot. I think he's been very, very good. There's something about him that makes me think of Lennon when Lennon played in that position a wee bit. I don't know why. Just he's a wee solid wee guy, tidies up things, saves the defenders' blushes on a lot of occasions. I'm not gonna lie, I've only seen him do it a few times last night as well. Turnbull, I rate him really highly. He's been a wee bit off the boil recently, just a wee bit. But he can be off the boil and still be better than the likes of Christie, for example. And you know, he still plays better than him, even if he is slightly off the boil. I think building a team around those two is a very good thing. Very much a good thing. I can't... I don't know what's wrong with McGregor this season. He has been, I mean, I get he said the captain's armband. I don't know if that's extra pressure on him or what, but I like him. I think he, you know, I rate him really highly, and I know that I think it was Rodgers that was looking at him and thinking about bringing him down south and stuff like that. And yeah, all right, on his day, probably. Do you know what? Yeah, he probably could go and play in England. But if you take the three McGregor on his day, Turnbull and Sorrow, that's your three boys that I think you mould the team around. Rodgers can just go and he can leave. Honest to God, I see him coming on and I just put my hands over my head, you know. I just don't know what's going on with him. I don't know. He's just shocking. But yeah, those three guys, in my opinion, I think you should build that team around.
I'm definitely with you there. Sorrow, again, but it's not like, as we've said, Robert, it's not like he's just signed. He was there for January. So Lennon, obviously, he's came from a different country. And I'm a big believer. I don't really believe in all that bullshit about settling in. See, if you're a professional football player, you should be just getting in and playing. Where in the arts, maybe we've been too critical of clubs, again, guys' time, I don't know. It's just my opinion. I think if you're a professional football player, maybe 2 or 3 weeks to settle in, get used to the training, get used to the climate, whatever else. But if you're good enough, for me, you should be playing. And Turnbull was signed to him. It only took us to start really, really dipping for they two to come on the team, and they've been there all season. And Brown, as we spoke about, Robert, in the other podcast, the old guard that he was playing, the guys he's tried and trusted, and Charm, who I thought, for me, I keep saying it, on his day, for me, I think he's the best midfielder in Scotland. He's phenomenal, but his best days are 1 every 20 or 1 every 15. So for me, I sell him. His time's up. But Sorrow, I think he's brilliant. I know I do agree with Claire when it comes to that. Maybe that he's no flashy. He just does maybe the Canty and Neil Lennon role. Gets the ball, breaks the play up.
He does the basics right. And that's all I want from
the
now. So
I think that's just. I think he's brilliant. I think he's only going to get better. And I think maybe, I know we don't want to keep talking about the manager because he's still here. And by all accounts, he could still be here next season. We fucking don't know that.
Please don't say that.
I just think that they've got to play continuously. And Turnbull, for me, I think Turnbull's going to be another 15, 20 million player in 2 or 3 years' time. I think he's going to be brilliant. He's an absolute, he's brilliant. Against a good guy for Scotland to have in their team, for the Euros coming up, I think he'll be brilliant. And that's only going to make us maybe a better team with him playing with Scotland as well, because he's playing against an Arsis, brilliant. And obviously, I just want to get your kind of thought, Robert, as well, on why you think Sorrow and Turnbull won in the team. Because I just think it's madness for me.
The reason behind what I think they won in the team was because Lennon's tried and trusted, and they were winning games and winning trophies. So he wasn't going to change it. There was no way he was going to change it. The only reason he changed it is because the screams were getting louder and louder for the fans. And it was like, look, this can't keep going on. So he had to look like he was trying something. And he did. He gave it against a dead rubber game against Leo. It wasn't a dead rubber to us, but to him, they're at the competition. So I flung these boys in and it looks like I'm then changing it. And by, obviously, the boys playing well, we got a result. And then by that all means, he couldn't really drop him. There was no other way. He couldn't turn around. Well, he did try it, didn't he? He dropped Sorrow for Brown in the cup final. And I'm not saying it was Brown's fault, but we conceded 3 goals and had to win in penalties. And we nearly absolutely tossed a Scottish Cup final for the season before. Through trying to be good to his old pals and whatever you would like to say. But for me, McGregor this season, what Claire's saying, I feel a lot of McGregor has had to be the legs in the middle of the park for Scott Brown because of Scott Brown, and it was disjointed, the two of them. I mean, you've seen it against Sparta Prague and that, when we're getting forward. The two of them were trying to get forward and Brown didn't have the legs to get back, and McGregor was maybe against two and trying his hardest, whereas Sorrow gives you the protection in front of the defence. He's a very, very clever player, as I says to you. He reminds me of young N'Golo Kanté. I'm not saying he's going to be an £80 million player or whatever you want to call it, but he's got that wee smile. He's a wee guy in stature, but he's as strong as a rock. He's clever at how he patrols the back line, just in front of the back line. He doesn't just go mad and just go charging into tackles. He picks his tackles maybe when a player's 25 yards to goal, then he'll start moving forward and getting his tackles in for then. Maybe 30 yards for goal. He's very clever. He just picks his times to make the tackles. And he picks his times when to move the ball forward. He's very clever. I like him because he's not like Scott Brown. When Scott Brown gets the ball, it's side away, it's back away. He goes He goes in between the two centre-halves to take the ball sometimes. And to me, what is the point in him going 15, 20 yards back to do what a defender can do? What Sorrell can do is take the ball 15 yards, while in front of the centre-halves, turn and move it quick and moves it with pace. He's a great wee player for what I've seen. And I think he will only get better under a better manager because he's been, him and Tumble have been the shining lights in a very poor season. Tumble, assists, great. Crossing, great. Free kicks, great. And he adds goals to his game. As Claire said, he probably set such a high standard to start with that he's, maybe Claire's saying he's took a wee dip, but his standard he set at the very start was so high with assists and goals is phenomenal rating. So maybe he has took a wee dip, but it's only natural a boy at 21 who's came in and done that. Everything's, in my own opinion, you've got to really build your team around the two guys. And if Callum McGregor's still there, then build it around him. Wear him, because I think you've got the basis of a right good team, unless somebody comes in and gives a ridiculous offer like Frimpong, then we can't really knock it back. Then you'll just try and find the next hidden gem. That's my opinion of the two of them.
I will touch on Frimpong in a minute, but obviously the game, Tumble and Sorrell again, Hamilton, McBrown, I know we're saying it's Hamilton, but you know, brilliant, and then Griffiths again, brilliant finish for the first goal. I know he's a bit of a rogue, and maybe his weight might not be the best, whatever, but and he struggles, he's hard, but I don't interrupt the day. I still think, I know some Rangers fans were talking about before, but I think Lee Griffiths is the best striker in Scotland in a mile. It's just my opinion. I think his finishing is just phenomenal. I know he's missed the odd set here and there, but I think if he's on the park, you're liable to get a goal off him. It might take two chances at one, but I think he's brilliant. I think he's we've got to just keep playing him now. None of this wrapping him. I know we'll talk about Ayet in a minute, Claire. I know we've got a wee bugbear with him, but I think we've got to just play him. I know people are saying play Kamara and Ayet, get him fit, blah blah blah. But for me, as long as we're still the lead, still no one there, horns, I would just play your strongest team. Get a bit of momentum, and I think we're playing Griffiths, it's only going to, for me, Claire, it's only going to help us in a way to the end of the season.
Yeah, with Griffiths, there's always a chance you're going to get something with Griffiths. He runs a bit like a jersey one, you know, he's good, and there's always that chance. You might only need that one chance, that one tap in, that one opportunity for him, and he could score. And the thing with Griffiths, he might not play wonderful for a match, but his goals count, and I agree with you. I think you should play him week in, week out. I don't know going forward who his partner, strike partner, will be. I do think he needs to have a partner. I don't think he's as effective up front on his own. Whether that be my wee pal Ayeti there, or whether it be somebody else, I don't know. But I think Griffiths has just got to be one of the first names on that team sheet if he's fit. And if he's ready to go, I think he needs to be. I mean, Lennon turning around and saying that he was an impact substitution when he was just coming back and that he didn't want to start him. I mean, come on. The boy's not going to lose the weight and get his head in the right place if he's not doing what he loves, which is playing start to finish. And, you know, that's another one. That's another statement for Lennon that just baffled me. I just don't understand. And he did put the work in. Griffiths behind the scenes, he did do what you're saying Barker should probably be doing. Put the head down and just focus for a wee bit. But yeah, one of the first names in the team sheet for me would be Griffiths. If we can keep him and pass when his contract is out, then I would, if I could do it, we should definitely try and hold on to him.
Would you can agree with that, Robert? So obviously, that's just my opinion. I think he's still, I know Edouard's a phenomenal player, but just based on finishing, I know Rangers fans will talk about Morelos or Defoe, but for me, I think Griffiths, his finishing's, it's brilliant. I think he's looked a bit sharper yesterday, and that for me, that's only going to come with playing more the rest of the season. I think we'll get more goals off him.
Griffiths is by far the best finisher in Scotland. I'm not even going to debate that with anybody. Honest to God, he's the best finisher in Scotland. Guys that have played with him throughout their career will tell you, the guy is an absolute goal-scoring machine. It's just getting his mental health right. I know he's suffered a lot with that. And I just hope maybe back playing and scoring goals gives him that wee kick that he needs just to continue his career. Because I don't want him to be a wasted talent because he's not that old. What is he, 30 mm-hmm. years of age you know? 31, is he? He could easily play for another 2 or 3 years at the highest level, but he's got to get his weight down and his obviously mental health obviously sorted and stuff like that. But aye, another great finish last night. I mean, he's just one of these guys that can just pick a ball up and put it in the corner, be anywhere in the park, really, for 30 yards out. I would like him to stay around and I'd like him under maybe a new manager to get the best out of him again. Back to his, because he does look to me still about a stone and a half overweight. He doesn't look totally fit, but again, that's probably down to management and the fitness coaches and stuff like that that need to get the best out of him. But I would keep him. He's definitely a player that can win you games out or nothing. As Claire said, he might not have the best of games, but he's always got an eye for goal. And his pass through for Edward yesterday for the second goal was a great pass as well. Just, I think with a partner, he looks a lot better with it. Cracking player. Always like Griffiths, always will like him. Scored a lot of goals for Celtic and definitely keep him around Celtic as long as we can, as long as his fitness and his health's there.
And then obviously we'll speak about yet in a wee minute. Obviously Frimpong's away now. The recruitment side there, it's we've signed him for 11. We've signed him for 11 million, supposedly. I don't know if it is 11, but I think under maybe I know I've given him a bit of stick this season because he can't close the ball. For me, it doesn't matter if you're 17 or you're 35. If you're playing professional football and you're a winger or a right back, whatever, you're going to close the ball. As we spoke about with Tony yesterday in the podcast, Robert, but it was drummed at him at a young age at Celtic, get the ball close, and I think that's what he may be missing, but he might go to Germany under a better structure, better manager, better coaches, and I think he probably will boss him. I think that's maybe, again, some of his comments, it might be a detriment to the way we run our club, the board, the manager. He says, obviously, people say you're maybe a cheeky wee shite saying that your demands weren't they met, but again, that's another player who's to meet with these cryptic tweets again. Dembele had it, Rodgers said it when they left, so for me, the recruitment side there, and that side, it's going to be better. We've spoken about it in plenty of time. I don't know what Claire thinks of the recruitment, but obviously, we've heard about Davis signing today. Touchwood, he's supposed to be a good player to Preston. But Frimpong, Lee, I don't know what you think of that, Claire. And obviously, the recruitment, we signed 4 or 5 players this season, and it's the structure we spoke about it, it's going to change, in my opinion. If it is a head coach and a director of football, it's, for me, modern football now, it's going to change.
Totally agree with you. I mean, I'll take the Frimpong one first. I mean, can I say I'm going to lose any sleep over that? I'm not going to lie. I mean, his crosses have been abysmal. Honestly, almost as bad as Christie's, but that's another story. However, yeah, he's quick. And he came in, he was all, you know, really want to be here. I'm, you know, happy. It was, you know, happy as wee boy in the world, quite happy playing football. And you know, something's turned his head, and whether it, you get all the people that say it's the agent. Maybe it is, I don't know. But he's young enough to be influenced really easy as well. And do you know what? Fair play to the guy, he's probably going to go to Germany and be brilliant. And the way he's played this season, I hope Celtic bit the hand off him for giving an £11 million. But whether it be £11 million or whether it be 8 with add-ons, I don't know. But even if it is just 8, or 9 or whatever, I mean, spend it, Celtic. Give me some players that I want to see play and want to play for the jersey. Bring in good signings. I mean, with the recruitment, that's what I was saying to you earlier, Ryan, about the guy from Preston. Is that a Lennon signing? Because if it was a pre-contract and Lennon's meant to be leaving in the summer, I question who's behind that. Because why would Lennon be behind that if he's going to come in when Lennon's apparently going to leave? You know, I'm not sure. I definitely question the recruitment. I don't know if Nicky Hammond's really pally with Lowell or whatever goes on there. But that in that situation, I feel sorry for Lennon, because if he doesn't have a say in who plays in his own team, I mean, how can you manage that? Do you know what I mean? How can you? You're fighting a losing battle there if you don't have control over your signings. Maybe that is what Robert said, is maybe that is why he came out and said what he said about Barkas. Maybe it is just frustration. Mm. It could just be that. And same with McGregor when he did the interview after whatever game was it?
Sparta Prague.
I mean, maybe that was just sheer the build up all this stuff. And McGregor just went, you know what? Ran his mouth off and obviously put the brakes on just about in time. But I mean, Lennon, I just don't think Lennon's got a say in it.
You were talking about obviously Lennon in the signings. See, in his first spell, that was a Lennon team, wasn't it, Robert?
Yeah.
It was the guys he signed, your Kayals, your Ledleys, and the guys up front, and Foster was there. So that was, for me, that was his signings. Rodgers, when he left, as we spoke about before, Claire and Robert, that we signed Marion Shev, Rodgers, like, I've not seen him play before. Bio, did he sign Bio? Again, another million, 2 million spunk. Down the drain. The recruitment for me has been awful. I can go with you when it comes to Claire that it could be frustration that he's no signed him, and he's maybe because the job he's in, he can't come out and say, oh, I don't need to sign him, because there was a few weeks ago, I think I mentioned it to you, Robert, in a podcast that when they had an interview and they asked, I don't know if it was something for Sky, they asked him, do you get the full say in the transfers? He kind of says, well, we all speak together and then we go and I'm like, well, really, you're saying no? Because if you did, we say, of course, I'll do the transfers. I'm the manager. So, and I think that's maybe why the CEO for me doesn't work, because for me, the CEO deals with that side of it. And I think we've got to bring in the first, when Rodgers come in, Rodgers and Davies and whoever else, Duff, whatever, they came in and dealt with the football side of it. And I think, I don't know if you think of that, Claire, but I think the football side of it's just, the money men are dealing with the football side in a way, and I don't think that should be happening at a club at Celtic.
Totally agree with you. I don't know if this is probably going to be a very much an unpopular opinion, but I don't know whether a director of football would be a good idea. And I mean, dark horse, and I don't know if this has even been something that's crossed your mind, but somebody like Jackie McNamara as a director of football, somebody that can deal with the football and can deal with a manager and knows the backstory of the club, knows all about how it works. I mean, obviously he's not a big, maybe not a big name that would jump out at you with fireworks, but he's you can't fault him for his passion for the club. And I think to deal with the football side, you've got to have that. And if he can work with a manager and work with whoever it is that's controlling the money, whether it be Mr. Lowell, good luck if it is, but or whether it be somebody else, you need that, maybe that buffer needs to be there. Maybe it shouldn't be manager, money man. Maybe it should be manager and director of football working together, and then that little buffer might just help. I mean, I know that interview you're talking about with Sky, that one that you were saying about Lennon, and he said, oh, we all speak and we confer, and I no bother. I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, he try a kid here. If you're the manager, you pick your signings. It's no difficult. If you have a director of football in, then you turn around and say, me and so-and-so make these decisions. That's what you do. You don't turn around and bullshit me and say that he's ought to talk, and you know, it's just, I think he's taking the fans to a ride a wee bit with some of those statements. When I think back to them, I'm just like, oh my god. But yeah, somebody like Jackie McNamara would be fine for me. I wouldn't say no to that. I know a lot of fans would, a lot of fans probably would say that, but I think he would probably be a decent enough appointment, especially if you're changing the structure.
I think that's something we've spoken to about, isn't it? As much as people might not want a kind of former player, a guy who knows the club as a director of football or an advisor, whatever, but I know I'm kind of the way I'm maybe going a foreign route. No, I'm not saying get a foreign manager, but the way that is, maybe a foreign director of football with a British coach, it's just something different. But I don't know what your take on, obviously, Madam McNamara, you maybe say Stratton or O'Neill, just somebody that knows Celtic, knows how to deal with transfers and the money side, it just because for me, Lowell maybe takes too much. Again, we're only going by what we're seeing and what we're believing. We don't know everything ins and outs. But for me, I think just with it, maybe the way Lennon talks, that he's no one full command.
He's no one full command. He didn't get to pick his backroom staff, as I already says. That tells you right away, he's no one full command. I says to you, director of football might be what we need. I says Gordon Strachan, Martin O'Neill, your Daffling and John Collins, which could be a good shout. But I think it's got to be somebody a wee bit older than Jackie McNamara. I like the idea of it, but he's got to demand the respect of being a manager and being at clubs for so many years. I don't think McNamara's got that experience. That's just my personal opinion. To maybe get through to, is it going to be Ross Desmond or Peter Lawwell, that side of it? Is it got to be even like somebody completely different? As you say, is a European foreign route? I don't know how they're going to structure it, but the structure needs to change to tap to bottom. But on the thing of signing players, do you know all Italian clubs, the manager doesn't really get given a say on signing players. Yeah. It all comes from the directors and the CEOs in Italy. I only found that out through my mate telling me, who's big into Italian football. And I've said all that to him, and he turned around and says to me, well, that's the way they do it in Italy. They've been doing it that way for years. Like, the manager just gets to manage the club, and that's it. He gets given these players. Don't get me wrong, I think he might have a say on it, but a lot of it comes from the directors and above who sign the players, and they just give him the weapons really to deal with. And I would hate Celtic to go down that route. I would never like that to happen to us, but what's to say that's not been happening for the last 4 or 5 years, and we just don't know about it, and that's why we've got unrest, and that's why maybe Hingme left, Brendan Rodgers, maybe why the scout left, John Park, because he was scouting players and Peter Long was going, nah, that's not your budget. Mm. I'm speaking to an agent who's keen as this player. And he's went, well, wait a minute. Who's going to get the flak here if this goes wrong? Maybe that's too many people leave Celtic within a certain time. It's like a revolving door. Managers, players, reserve coaches, like director, no director of football, like scouts and stuff like that. I don't feel we have a structure in place, like, say, the Ajax model, Leipzig model, like maybe our Red Bull Salzburg and stuff like that, where they've kind of structured it all, and they've got guys that have been there for so many years. I think we really need to go a long-term plan rather than short-term. That's just my opinion, how the club needs to be run.
I think I've been a big admirer, advocate of getting maybe the modern side of the football changed, director of football, and maybe I get a very, very experienced manager. I know we've spoken about the dream for me would be Ralf Rangnick, the old Leipzig manager. Just the way people talk about him, he's one of the best coaches in the world. Again, will that come to us and will we have the money today? I don't know. That's just a dream as a fan. But obviously, I spoke about maybe Benitez, Eddie Howe. Their names get flung about through your WhatsApp numbers. We don't know. But see, obviously, Clive has talked about signing Davies. I say to Robert, you know, maybe Hank, as much as it's no for me, it's not going to sell season books, it's not going to get my hump up about Celtic again. But you know, maybe Hank, maybe Alex Neil's can in the summer, and that's why he's signing Davies. And it's just my opinion, it's just my maybe putting two and two together. Because they were rumoured to sign the guy Pearson, has maybe got to Bournemouth now. We didn't know if this guy Davies is signing. But as you say, who's signing? If Lenny's not going to be here, why are you signing players if a new manager's not in yet? I know what you say, Cobbs do that, but managers who normally come into a team, I would like to know who my squad is going to be and who I'm going to have to sign and my budget. So I was just thinking that today, Claire. Could Alex Neil be a first possibility? I don't want it to happen. I don't think it's not going to sell season books, which are going to go right down unless we get a top manager in. I just think it's just a wee burner that I had in my head.
Alex Neil, I think, would be all right, but just all right. I've said all right a million times since I've been speaking to you two, and I hate saying it about Celtic, that we're just all right. I want to be saying we're brilliant, or, you know, I want to be more positive. That's a good point. I never actually thought didn't put two and two together with that, but it's a good point. Davies coming in, 25, probably a decent player. Do you know what I mean? It could be fine. We sign him before Monday, but we're just going to drop him in against Kilmarnock or whoever it is we play after St Mirren and go, hey, go son, go nuts. Let's see if he can settle in. Do you know what I mean? And you bring him in and you fling him in. Who goes out? Is he going to drop one of his trusted boys Dumb and Dumber at the back. Do you know what I mean? Is he going to, I mean, one of the two is going to get punted out for this new boy as well? I mean, that's only if he signs by Monday, but then you've got me thinking now. I wonder why he did sign a pre-contract and why we didn't try and push to get him in this window. So I think if, I mean, if Eddie Howe did come in, for talking sake, he'd bring in his, he'd be, I think apparently one of his reasons was he needs to come with his own backroom staff.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to come with his own guys, so, you know, Kennedy and Gavin Strachan and Gavin Strachan's laptop can all bugger off and leave, do you know what I mean? But this is what I'm saying, is that what you guys were saying? They need to have their own backroom staff in, and Lennon didn't get that chance. He kind of just get dumped in the job with the deadwood that was already there. Which wasn't really very fair on him, but Alex Neil wouldn't sell a season book for me. I would say I were right, but I wouldn't get overly excited about it, to be honest. I would get much more excited if Benitez or... Yeah, I would be happy with Eddie Howe. I would be, mm-hmm. but...
Because obviously, we're talking about obviously the season books. I think the way it's gone, because they obviously what we're expecting this season, the way the... Maybe the club or the boards kind of conduct themselves. It's maybe know what the fans would like. So I think season books will drop unless, as we've said, as the days go on and the weeks go on, Lenny's still here. It's the fans are going to go, I'm going to give up. Why should I give money when I'm not getting sports out, say, the added value, season passes and all that? It's, I just think when it comes to obviously that side of it and then the recruitment, I've spoken about, obviously, Ayeti came on yesterday again. He's hardly played. The recruitment side, we've paid $5 million playing for him. Obviously, Gavin Stanton came in, League One. He spoke about Tony, identified Tony. We didn't sign him, but supposedly Brentford paid $6 million with $3 or $4 million add-ons, whatever it is. For the outset, when it was rumoured Tony was $10 million, I was like, I don't want to pay $10 million for a League One striker. For me, at the time, it didn't make business sense. That was just my opinion. Ayeti coming from West Ham, not really played, but his Basel form was brilliant. Scored, I think, 25, 30 goals in all competitions, including the Champions League. I thought, aye, $5 million, come up here. A French player at West Ham on the bench should come up here. I thought with Duffy at Brighton should come up here and score goals. He's done it in Europe before, so... But now you're thinking $5 million for him, six for Tony. Tony scored over 16 goals, I think, this season for Brentford. There's rumours of him going to Arsenal in the summer. So, but I think it's an Arsenal guy where Mr. Trick on. And I don't know, we've spoken about it, Claire, but I don't know what you obviously are Yeti, but it's, I'll let you go on everybody, you think are Yeti, but I think it's the recruitment again, it's shown up to fail.
Oh, Ayeti's just so frustrating for me to watch. I mean, I know he came in and he had, what was, I think he played, I think it was maybe 5 or 6 matches.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a few goals in there and a few assists in there. And he was, I was like, right, okay, fair enough. Let's go. Let's see what you've got. Oblivious, totally forgot the guy was only 23 at this point. You know, he's the same age, not kicking the balls off what Edward is. So, you know, I'm thinking, right, okay, obviously got that. Was it a groin injury or a hamstring injury? Whatever mm-hmm. happened to him. And since he's, from what I've heard, since he's came back, he had fitness issues, whatever that means when a club says a guy has fitness issues, which is why he's been off form, apparently. Now, going back to Griffiths and, you know, no excuse for weight and professional football, do you know what I mean? I mean, come on, now he's getting paid stupid money. Stay fit. It's no rocket science. He's got all these fitness coaches and whoever in the club that should be able to fix that. But, I mean... It's like what you said earlier, Ryan. Yeah, he could potentially be a completely different player under a completely different manager. The guy might, maybe he doesn't like Lennon's coaching, maybe he doesn't respond well to the way he's been managed. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he needs the, I mean, you could probably blow on him when he'll fall over. He needs to toughen up a wee bit. But maybe he needs that softly, a wee bit of a softly approach or a right good kick up the rear end. I don't know. But I mean, he came on last night. And I don't know if he's noticed, his shoulders were hunched. He was just like, oh my God, here we go. It was as if coming off that bench was an effort for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they had a corner, Hamilton, not long after he came on, and he was like, his positioning wasn't great, and he jumped, totally missed the ball. I mean, nowhere near it. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on here. Like, he didn't seem to know what he was. It was as if he didn't know what he was doing, and all his runs were, he wasn't reading his teammates right. His runs were completely wrong last night, and I know I was quite harsh probably when I spoke about him earlier, but I feel for the guy a bit because he is only 23, and maybe a different manager, he could play a lot better. I mean, I don't know what your take on that is. Maybe he won't play better, but he is young enough. He is young enough to get better, and I think he could play really well with Griffiths for a couple of years. I don't know. I don't know what your take on that is.
Obviously, I played up front myself when I played football, so I tend to look at strikers, and I think he's, people might shoot me in the foot and say I'm wrong, but I think he's a similar mould of Hooper. He doesn't look the most mobile, but if you give him the ball in the box, I think he'll score. I think the best game I've seen him play was against Leo away. I thought him and Elanusi linked up brilliantly. I thought he was superb. And again, Len took him off for 60 minutes, and I'm saying, what are you doing? He's playing well. What are you taking him off for? I agree with you when it comes to it. I think he does look a bit disinterested. Again, we don't like, that's from a fan's perspective. It might not be that, just might be the way maybe his body image is. But I think a lot of these players maybe better coached, maybe better managers. I agree with Robert that we've got a chorus of a fantastic team. Obviously, we need to do better in Europe. If I think, it's the main thing for me is the defence and the goalkeeper. I think up front we're always going to get goals if it is Kamara, Ayeti, Edward or Griffiths. Midfield, I think we've got a lot of options. Obviously, still getting Cham. You've got other guys there, young guys like Henderson, to come in and play. I think the defence is, it's been a bugbear all season. But when it comes to Ayeti, I like him, and I think he will come good if he's given the game time. He's been given maybe a better coach with a top-class manager. I think, Robert, I don't know what you think it may, but I think Ayeti would come good under a better structure, like we've said about a lot of other players.
It's a hard one because it's possible he came in, scored a few goals at the start, he got a hamstring injury, whatever it was. He then looks like he's put on a bit of weight. He had a odd couple of good games, but if you're saying, Ryan, you're saying he's a penalty box striker, and to me that's the way he looks. That's the type of guy, but a penalty box striker playing with Celtic, we don't play with wingers now. We've no played with wingers, so maybe the guy is somebody that gets on the end of crosses, like in the 5-6 yard box. You know what I mean? It's hard probably for him if he is a penalty box striker, play his back to goal for 25 yards out. It probably doesn't suit his game. So Lennon and that should have really done their homework on that side yet, if that's the guy they went for. Because to me, our system and the way we play isn't suiting the guy now, and he's not getting a lot of minutes. Maybe that's what he needs, is two natural wingers, guys that can get by people and put crosses in. Because Laxalt's not been the greatest at crossing balls. Taylor's not been the greatest. Pring Pong wasn't the greatest at crossing balls. So if you're a penalty box striker, we know a lot of balls come into your area when you're playing. It's very hard to score goals, really. And if you're having to then be 25 yards for goal playing your back to goal, which doesn't suit your game, then you can look poor. You know what I mean? It's just a wee opinion on it. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong in that. But if we think that's the type of player he is, then he really needs to be inside the box, balls getting fired in, fair the wide areas, or cut back to him, and then for the guy to score. Because his goals are always around about the 10, 15 yard mark, to what I've seen. It seems to be that guy comes alive in the box. So that's just a wee opinion. It might not be right, mate.
I'll throw one at both of you then. What about, do you think you'd play better if James Forrest was fit and playing well?
Yeah, I've been a big criticiser of Forrest, but he starts telling me that I'm talking one lot of shite because his stats are phenomenal. And I think that the only thing that I don't like about him is I think he's a shite bag. That's my point. I think he's shits at a tackle, he's the big games he hides. Again, I'm never going to criticise, I don't want to put that up bluntly because he's a professional football player, so I'm not going to say that he's no trying, he's no tackling. I just think that it could be hard on tackles, and he's on the ball, it could be, but that's not his game. Maybe I'm being too critical, that's not his game, tackling and he's on the ball. But when it comes to the wing play, definitely we'll miss him because I don't think he can defend very good. I think that's maybe what we're missing again this side, because when we had Tierney, St Clair might have got his critics, but him and Tierney defended very well. They covered a lot of ground, and I think maybe Forrest, in my opinion, doesn't do that much. But going forward, we've missed his goals, his creativity. I don't know what Robert thinks of it, but I think he's been a massive miss this, because when him and Ellen Lucy were first kicking off, we were very good, especially last season. And I think we've missed him, and we've not actually signed a replacement, because we don't know when he's going to come back. When is he say he's going to be back? He said a few weeks, a few months. When's a few months?
Mid-February.
Did he say? I've not heard that, but I don't know what you think of Forrest, Rob, but I think aye, we're missing him.
We miss James Forrest for the full fact is he stretches the game and he runs with the ball. He can take you 15, 20 yards up the park with the ball. Just his running ability is really good in the final third. We have lacked that. And I think we need possibly another two wingers. We need guys. I mean, Mikey Johnson can be, but he's flatters to deceive sometimes. He just
I don't rate him at all.
The boy who played against us for Sparta Prague, I've only really seen him in the two games, but the two games against us, the winger boy, the Swedish boy, is Larsson. Yeah. I'm not sure if his name is Larsson. Carlson. I like to look at him because he was a direct runner. He was quick with the ball at his feet, and he was a winger, and he could score goals. He might have had two World Games against us and be absolutely garbage. I don't know. But somebody of that mould, I think we should kind of look at, do you know what I mean? Look, someday we can release the ball on the wing and stretch a game, because we play a lot against a lot of compact defences. And if we can't get on the wings, then against teams like Hamilton and Ross Counties and Livingston, you'd expect an 0-0 draw if you can't get on the wings and stretch the game. That's just my opinion. I feel we need to cut our wingers quick and can take a man on. It's an old-fashioned winger that can get by people, like a Paddy Roberts type of guy we're lacking. And I think, obviously, with Nae Forrest, with Nae Natural width and our team.
Is that, obviously, I'm guessing that's something you've kind of thought about all season, Claire Forrest, been missing?
I've never been a massive fan of him. I mean, anybody that knows me will tell you that. But I've also realised exactly what Robert said. You've got the teams at Livingston and St Johnstone to an extent. They park the bus. Let's not beat about the bush here. Come on, we're going to probably do it next week. Park the bus for 80 minutes. And I think Forrest does stretch the game. He can run with the ball. He might be a wee bit fear, like you said, Ryan. I think he is going to get maybe the confidence he should have. But I think I am taking it back to Ayeti, because just I think with Forrest on his game and playing well, Ayeti potentially could feed off that, and I think they two might actually link well together, and that could be a good partnership in the way those two. His style of play might, for his style, if it could suit a striker like Ayeti that Robert's saying, 10, 15 yards outside, you know, from the goal, Forrest gets good crosses in. I mean, I've never been a fan of Forrest, however, you don't realise how much you miss him until he's not there. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at that team last night without Christie in it. You know, wasn't he a massive miss? I'm not going to lie. I mean, Christie's been so inconsistent.
See, when you're talking about Christie, I said it about the same with Frimpong. He's the most infuriating player I've ever seen at Celtic. He's because I think he's got everything. I know he hits about 50 shots a game, but he has got a strike on him. I think his energy is brilliant. His fitness is, I think he's my probably fittest in the team by the looks of it. He does try the long passes, but I think he's, well, the only downside I think him as he's shooting and he's crossing from me is ridiculous. I don't, at any level of football, if you can't cross past the first man, I don't like it. I think it's very poor, but I think Chris, he's got everything, and I think if he does go again, I don't want to keep putting it down to Lennon and the coaching staff, but if he's played in the right position, which I can't say I know exactly where it is, but it's the same with Lanussi. If he's played in the right position, you'll get the best of him. And I think, as Robert says, we've made too many changes. Guys only get in the right positions. I'm not getting the rhythm in the team. I think I agree when it comes to Christie. He's just, he didn't look a big miss, but I don't know if you think he's frustrating, Claire, but I think he's got everything in his locker, but he's just very, very frustrating.
Oh, it's infuriating. I mean, what was it you said, Robert? Did you say it was 33 times or something the team's been changed this season or whatever it was? I think you said, I mean, I didn't know that. And that's quite scary, actually, but I like it.
How many times have we changed tactics in that time, Claire? We've never stuck with the same tactics.
Come back to me next time, I'll give you a figure, right? I'll work it out for you. But, I mean, you know, I mean, I look at that game Christie played for Scotland. All right, you get the goal. Brilliant. You know, I'll not take it away from him. Amazing. But he tried the same shot, or similar shot for us, and I forget who it was against. It was right, it was no long after that. And he made a complete arse of it. And it was like, all right, okay, you know, maybe off the boil slightly, but a couple of games after that, he was still 50 shots a game that were going rose head or whatever they were going. And it is infuriating for somebody that's got everything. And I think he's, unfortunately, I don't like saying it, maybe another one that might leave and then be brilliant somewhere else. I mean, I can't remember if it was a WhatsApp or whatever, but Arsenal were looking at him. And I was just like, aye, all right, no bother, no danger. There you go. But then I think, look at the Arsenal playing, I think, all right, actually, he could fit in a team like that. And do you know what? I would wish him well if he left. Frimpong, I think, has been quite arrogant. Christy, I'm just like, do you know what, mate? You've been good. You've been here long enough. You have played well. If you want to leave, batter in.
What's your take on Christie, Robert?
Very good player. On his day, can score a goal out of nothing, but he's not put in his right position. Mm. He hasn't played his right position the full year. His right position is behind the striker, a 4-5-1, an attack midfielder. And we've played him at the wide right, played him at the wide right practically all season, should I say, to come in on his left foot. And I just don't think it suits him. And it's, I mean, last season, his stats and goals and assists last season was phenomenal. So he played in his right position last season. This season, he's just tried to accommodate other people and put them out of position. And it's no suited him. And maybe that's, and he's one of the lowest paid at Celtic.
Mm-hmm.
I seen, I think it, he's only $8,000 a week or something. And maybe he's looking at it and going, guys letting Cham at around $15,000 and $20,000 a week and going, cunt's no kicked his arse for us and he's getting more money than me. So, what's to say he's maybe doing like that? I don't want to be here if I'm on that. And there's guys that can't even get in the team that are on a lot more money and probably not done as much for the club in the last 18 months as I have done, 2 years. I think he would blossom in another team and he could blossom at Celtic, but I don't think he'd be a big miss now because we have Tumble in that role. It's just, he's a cracking player. He was always good at Inverness and stuff like that. I always liked him. And I think he is a good football player. Just this season, with everything that's happening, maybe we criticise players too much because everybody's after the boil. Maybe we're picking guys like Christie Moore as a support. I don't know. As I says, if he went, I don't... Like Frimpong, I wish him all well as well. We've got a lot of money. We've really, as you say, it's about 11.5 million for buying a guy for $350,000. It's no bad bit of business in that sense. And I do think he'll blossom in Germany under the right coaches. I feel, to be honest with you, most players that would leave in it, I wouldn't be disheartened as long as the money was right and we had the money to rebuild the team. Because I think whether we win the league this year or whether we didn't, it was going to be a massive rebuilding job at Celtic. And I feel if we can get any money for certain players that want to leave, take it, put it in the bank, and get to the next manager to rebuild. And just, I think it's just a rebuilding job, really, if it's tapped the bottom at Celtic, it's needed. And I just hope there's something special happening behind the scenes.
I think that's what we're all hoping for, because I'm, obviously, I don't know if you've listened before, Claire, but I'm a big fan of Eddie Howe. Eddie Howe's on my Christmas card list. I think he's, I think that's the way we've got to start playing football, the way I've watched videos of him and the way he speaks about it. Simon and Mulder Rodgers, he's obsessed with football and he's obsessed with getting better. And I think, again, that's just my wish. But obviously, I want to kind of just get some information about yourself, Claire. Robert, you can kick it off. Some questions.
Oh, sorry, Ryan.
No, sorry, mate.
3 seconds,
I'll start off with the beginning. But obviously, Claire, how did you start? Obviously, been to the Celtic family.
Oh, I was born into that. I didn't. That was always going to be. I was born into a family that were football daft. I mean, I'm half Irish, so a lot of my family are over in Northern Ireland. They're all Celtic daft, and my granddad was advocate. Yeah, I was a very big advocate of Celtic from a very young age. I mean, I think I was probably 4 when I went to my first match. Don't ask me what I mean. You know, don't ask me to remember much about it. But I mean, I think I've been watching football since I was really small, and I've had a ball at my feet since I could probably walk. So I was always going to have an interest in it, and I would quite happily sit and watch any football match. I mean, my poor partner, it's mental, because in this sense I want to watch football all the time, and it drives him mental. I mean, he is a Celtic fan, but not to the level of me, and it's like a total role reversal in this relationship. It drives him demented. But I think I've always had football on. I've always had an interest. I've always, you know, mostly Celtic, but I mean, I have an interest in, you're saying, Robert, you've got a friend who's interested in Italian football. For me, it's more the Spanish leagues. Quite a big interest to me. I'm a really big fan of Diego Simeone over at Atletico Madrid. I think he's just great.
Phenomenal.
He's phenomenal. On my wish list as a manager. He's up for me. I mean, honestly, if he was available, I'd be like, in you come. But yeah, that's how I mean, I've just, my family have been definitely helped me with this whole Celtic thing, so that's how I got into it. So,
do you know what they call him over in Spain?
What's that?
Cholo leader or something, I think it means. My mate had went to that boy, he's a mad football fan, and he went to the Atletico game, and he says Simeone was banned, and he went and sat in the stand, he says, and the small stadium was just chanting, Cholo, Cholo. He said it was incredible. He'd never seen anything like it. He says that guy could walk on water over there. They love him that much, the Atletico fans. He said he could go on a terrible run and no win anything, but he's just that highly regarded over there.
I think he's got a fresh good. Does he not get a screwless or two? I think he's a wee bit highly strung and a wee bit short-tempered, but I think that'd be brilliant.
I think we lack somebody like that.
A few players would have the fear of God pent on, I think, if he came in.
2 seconds. Ryan. You go with Ryan, I can't find us.
No worries, mate. I obviously, Claire, see, obviously growing up, he says football was a big part of your life. Who was obviously watching Celtic? Obviously, you're a bit older than me, so you've seen a bit more kind of players. Who was your kind of favourite player growing up, Celtic?
I was a really big fan of Enrico Annone, actually. Paul McStay's obviously, it got to be right up there for me. That's the kind of first player that comes to mind when I think about who I remember from my way back when I was watching football. I mean, cliched as it is, my favourite player is Larsson, obviously. But the likes of a wee bit further back, Van Hooydonk, Cadet and De Canio. I mean, that was when I first started getting proper interested in the more tactical side of it, and the more, well, these guys are actually skillful. And, like, you know, you get more, you start to get that first of the knowledge of it when I was about that age. And, I mean, De Canio obviously was a different kind of class, you know. I mean, obviously it wasn't there for very long, but I would say if I had to pick one, I'd say De Canio was up there for me. Definitely up there for me. But overall, Larsson's still at the top of my list. I don't care what anybody says. It might sound really cliched, but I need to say he's up there. Lebo's a close second, but Larsson's up there for me.
See you on that one, Claire. You talk about De Canio. I loved him as a player, but I thought he was very disrespectful to Celtic, and he was still disrespectful to this day on Celtic, which put me off him a lot. Just in my thoughts, he doesn't really mention Celtic, like when he talks about his career and how much he was desperate for money and just took the first opportunity to leave us after rescuing him, DC Milan reserves, really.
No,
that's a good point.
No, do you know what? You're probably right. I mean, I think he was an absolute arrogant arse, probably, as a human. But I think because I was small enough at the time, I just seen him as this wee hot-headed Italian guy that was really good with football, and thought, oh my God, he's amazing. And then I seen George Cadet, who had the same kind of hairdo as me, and thought he was amazing. Do you know what I mean? It was like, that was the kind of, you know, I was a young girl who was trying to have an interest in something that only boys liked at that age, and
yeah.
You know, I I understand what you're saying about Decano. I think he did an interview a couple of years ago when he didn't mention Celtic. I can't remember what it was. I think it might have been after they left West Ham, actually, or something, or whatever it was. And he didn't mention Celtic, and he didn't talk about, like, anything that happened when he was here and whatever else. And he did leave under a bit of a, what's the phrase, a bit of a cloud as such, I think, when he left, from what I remember. But, I mean, you can't doubt his skill, I think, from that point, they were my heroes
growing up, Claire. I'm probably no far off your age, like...
I'm not telling you to my age, right? But you can guess that for yourself.
But that was, I can remember the tail end of Paul McStay and DeCanio and Cadet and Jackie McNamara and Tom Boyd and Lambert and stuff, just all these different generations, and Alan Stubbs and that, like scoring the winner against Rangers at Celtic Park. And I think it was a cup, the first we'd beat them in ages, and he scored a header for us to beat them, and just to feel into beating them. I can relate to you in so many ways there. You know what I mean? The best game you've ever been to, Claire?
Mm-hmm. 6-2 against Rangers. Larson Chipman Close just honestly made me the happiest person ever. I've got it somewhere, the commentary for that. I think it was the Sky commentator that did that, and he just was going absolutely, Ian Crocker, I think it was absolutely mental, and it was just brilliant. I think because it was such a, what would you call it, unexpected, I don't think nobody had said we were going to beat them by that much at that point. It was going to maybe be a 1-1 or a 1-0, perhaps. It was never going to be a 6-2. I mean, come on. Klaus was the best thing since sliced bread at that point. He was never going to get chipped by Larson. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't written. I think I made it even better. But if you want a European one, I would...
I was just going to go into that. That was just the best game you've been to. Best
away games
and best away games in Europe.
Liverpool away or Seville, probably. I've got to be up there. I mean, the Liverpool one just for John Hartson's goal, the second half. You'll know the goal I'm talking about. That was up there. So, I mean, Seville was just a different kind of experience, obviously. There were so many fans there. And it was just, I mean, I hope to see something like that in my lifetime again. I don't know, but you never know. I mean, as much as we didn't win it, and we know it maybe didn't end the way it should have done for various reasons. You know, it's something that the fans of our era probably will never forget. And you know, I look back and I don't think about the defeat right away when I look back in that season. I think about how we got there and who we beat and the goals that we scored and the players that we had. So, yeah. I mean, that sticks for me from an away game.
Your best European home game?
Barcelona. Oh, no. Oh, come on. Man U, Nakamura's free kick probably is up there for me, that one. Or Barcelona. Although, you might disagree with this, you might think I'm nuts, but see the 3-each game against Man City? That, from a purely exciting match point of view, was just was brilliant. I took my pal to that game for a first ever Celtic game, so that was a baptism of fire for her. I'll tell you that. But yeah, that's
Mine was the Juventus 4-3 game when we beat Juventus 4-3, and they were just like unbelievable talent they had at the time. They had Zidane and Trezeguet and Del Piero and Buffon and that. That was my best one, but I can relate to you in some of the ones as well. What's your main one, Ryan?
It might sound bad, but it's probably been the best opposing team I've seen. It would be the game against PSG. The best performance I've ever seen for a player was Cavani. It was just as fair a neutral point of view, just to see him play football. It was frightening. It was absolutely frightening. But if it came to the best game, I think I would maybe go with Claire. I was at the game, Nakamura. I was a bit younger at the time than I was now, but it was phenomenal. That guy for us was amazing. And I think, sounds daft, but you probably expected it to happen. You just knew as soon as you put the ball down, you know that he's scoring this. And it was magical. And it's kind of a wee bit of a positive note talking about this now, because what we've been through this year and the last years in Europe has been, it's been pretty no very good. But again, it's good to kind of talk about old times and memories. And obviously, Claire, it's been good to have you on and hear your thoughts and views because it's something different. It's good to debate and obviously have different opinions because people are probably sick of me and Robert talking a lot of trash on this. So it's definitely have some different opinions. But obviously, Claire, I really appreciate your time. It's been brilliant having you on. Robert, brilliant again, mate. As usual, shit with us two talking rubbish. But Claire, I really appreciate you coming on. And I hope, obviously, during lockdown, everything's all right, you keep safe. So during the last kind of the last few months, is hopefully, and obviously, hopefully, Celtic win the league. But it's not going to happen, is it? But you just need to hope. But again, it's been brilliant to have you two of yous on. But we'll end it there, and we'll be back. Obviously, kind of the St. Mirren game came up. Hopefully, again, we continue to run, get 3 points. That's all we can really do. But obviously, Claire, Robert, thanks for your time, and keep safe.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.